here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today that we have titled The Elect One as we look at Isaiah chapter 42. For those of you that are following us on social media, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us and get your Bibles ready as well to tune into our program for today. And before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being able to dive into your word again, into Isaiah, and Lord, how it reveals so much about you and how today's message will just, Lord, illuminate who you are to us in so much a big way. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for all tuned in. And Lord, we pray that as we end 2025, Lord, that there be blessing on all those who, Lord, seek your word and seek you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of the elect one as we look at Isaiah chapter 42. Before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, welcome, and what a blessing to be able to do this program with you again.
Yes, man, to think we're up to chapter 42 in Isaiah. We're heading toward, you know, folks, 66 chapters in Isaiah. It's a big thing to tackle in all of 2025. Vic and I have been tackling it for you to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've been blessed too, Vic. I don't know about you, but I'm learning a lot going verse by verse. Really, really, I think it's so much better, at least for me, topically, because you let the Holy Spirit speak through each verse.
Nathan, I agree. And it's just so, the book of Isaiah is long, but it's so refreshing because we come across so many amazing prophecies and the way that they all tie together. And of course, the Bible is so big that sometimes you kind of forget certain things. But constantly through the book of Isaiah, we see all these amazing prophecies that just kind of line up. And we're going to be looking at even that today as we continue. But it has been a fun study, Nate. I don't know those people that have been following us for so long if they're like, all right, guys, this is a long book. But it's been fun for us.
Well, each chapter is something new and different. Now, there is some reflections. We'll see in chapter 42, for instance, how Israel's disobedience will be called out again. And that's a theme throughout the book of Isaiah, because that was Isaiah's job as a prophet. He was to foretell, and that was to call the people to repentance and call society back to the Lord. And a prophet is most famously known for foretelling the future. And Isaiah does both. And so we see that throughout each chapter, a little forthtelling and a little foretelling.
Oh, I love that. And Nate, so maybe someone is new to the program and they just joined us. Might you be able to share with them how they can get a hold of our content?
Yeah, they could go to our website at christinprophecy.org, click media and then podcasts. We've got a variety of ways that you could also, besides our website at christinprophecy.org, reach the archive. Vic and I have archives stretching all the way back to 2010 of The Truth Will Set You Free. It's, of course, the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. Maybe you've joined us via Apple or Spotify, Audible or Pray.com, or you get it piped right to you via our RSS feed. We're glad you've joined us. And if you would like to, even more content, we have, of course, created a Christ in Prophecy television as well as Christ in Prophecy Radio, which is our ministry's television and radio programs. And those are available on YouTube and Rumble. Of course, we've got them on our website at christinprophecy.org. But we do this to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to reach the lost for Jesus, and we want to help people connect with God and know that hope that you can have that Jesus Christ is coming soon. We have a glorious future ahead of us if you know Jesus as your Savior, and so that we kind of revel in God's prophetic word.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. Yeah, and we want to encourage you, grab hold of these resources so that they can help you grow in your relationship with the Lord, and you will be amazed what the Holy Spirit will show you. Nathan, speaking of which, I mean, as we look at Isaiah, wow, chapter 42, another powerful, powerful chapter as we continue looking at this message. And Nathan, right from the beginning, as chapter 42 opens, it almost like an eye-opening message for us to grab hold. So, Nate, will you be able to start us out there in case someone doesn't have a Bible? We're reading from the New King James and read verses 1 through 5, and I'll pick up verses 6 through 9.
Absolutely. All right, let's learn about the servant of the Lord, verses 1 through 5. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it.
Verse 6, I am the Lord, have called you in righteousness and hold your hand. I will keep you and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison's house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them. Wow, Nate, what an amazing passage.
Yes, this is again in Isaiah's ability as foretelling. He's giving the future and he's prophesying the coming of the Messiah. So the beginning of chapter 42 is what we call a messianic prophecy. It's a prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, whom we know as Jesus Christ. And it not only talks about his first coming, for instance, he will not cry out nor raise his voice, which he did not while he was being crucified. But the fact that he's going to bring forth justice and peace and establish his law on the earth, well, that's a prophecy about Jesus bringing his kingdom to this earth. And as you know, Vic, in the first century, the Jewish people were quite confused because they would read this and they thought it was all one event because that's how it reads. They thought, well, Jesus has come. He's going to set up his kingdom. And wait, he got crucified? They didn't understand that. They kind of ignored Isaiah chapter 53, which we'll get into in the next few weeks. But this is clearly a messianic passage pointing to Jesus Christ, his ministry in the first coming, and then when he returns to set up his kingdom.
And Nathan, and this is really cool because you and I obviously didn't plan it this way, but we're entering into the Christmas season right now, speaking about his coming, speaking about the Messiah, right? And what a great prophecy here, foretelling of that baby and that king that is coming. It kind of reminds me of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, Nate, when you share that just now about the prophecy, that verse just kind of popped into my mind.
It's the perfect example of what the kingdom will be like when Jesus comes. I wrote a book called The Coming Millennial Kingdom. It's about what the kingdom will be like when Jesus comes, and it's a comparison between what Jesus as the perfect king will be compared to our flawed, failed, corrupt governments. And well, because we're sinners, so our leaders are going to fail us, just like we fail us because of our sin natures, but not Jesus Christ. The Messiah is perfect. And see, verse 5, you know, he's the God of the universe. He stretched out the heavens. In other words, he created not only the earth and the sky, but, you know, the endless outer space filled with not only trillions of stars, but trillions of galaxies of stars. You know, this is the God who created the universe, and yet he became a little baby with no power or strength, and then grew to be a man and allowed himself to be crucified, and then beat death by resurrecting himself from the dead, all so that he could bring salvation to the world. Vic, that just blows my mind, because to think that the God of the universe, who's so beyond us, I think of that old original Star Trek series where Mr. Spock was comparing this group of people they met that were, you know, superpowered beings, and he says, we are like amoebas to them. You know, we are like amoebas to God, and yet, since we're recreated in his image, the Lord loves us like children. The God of the universe was willing to sacrifice his own son on our behalf to what? To bring justice and peace to the world.
Oh man, Nathan, what a blessing. And that's why even during the Christmas season, we always talk about that peace that surpasses all understanding, and we give glory to God. And Nathan, I mean, even on verse one, when you open up reading, it says, "Behold," it's almost like grabbing your attention. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights." I just love that title, right, Nathan? The elect one.
Yeah, I love that. That's what we should call this episode. Because here the Lord loves his son as we would love our own son. Here's his son who the God the Father says, go and give up your power for a short time, sacrifice your life in a horrifically painful death, go to hell, take on the sins of the world, which has had to be the worst part of dying, and then beat death by resurrecting from the dead and showing the world that yes, you're the Messiah. You do this to bring forth justice and peace, something that we as humans can't possibly do. Brother, I was reading in the last 3,500 years of human history, we have been at war 92% of the time. So if you take all the years that the world hasn't had some kind of war, that's 200 years total, which shows that we could never bring true peace, this utopianism that globalists want to bring about. Well, Revelation tells us, wow, that's going to turn out, and it's going to turn out badly. Only the Prince of Peace can bring true peace and justice to the world. And that's why this Christmas, we declare glory to God in the highest on peace, goodwill to men, because only God can bring true peace.
Nathan, and it's, I mean, you just turn to the news these days and you start to read about Russia and China and the US and their plans with all these nuclear submarines and all this arsenal. And that's why people are in so much fear. There's not much peace. But when we turn to God's promises and we look to the future, for those that have trusted in the Lord, there's always peace. We can sleep at night knowing that we're in God's hands.
Absolutely, absolutely. You read in verse 8, he won't give his glory to carved images. Now, we don't think today about idolatry. Idolatry was huge in that in Middle East and through most of the pagan world at that time. But still today, brother, I remember years ago going on a world religions tour for the Bible school I was at. We went up to New York City because you can hit all the different religions in New York City. And we went to a Hindu temple, and there were thousands and thousands of little wooden statues all over the place, and giant big statues in the corners. And people were bowing down and worshiping them and lighting incense to them. Actually, it was a little heady in there because the incense was so powerful. And it's like, these are just sticks of wood, people. We got the God of the universe who made everything, and you all are worshiping sticks of wood. And it just must gall you. You can read that throughout the Bible. It galls God that we would rather worship something we've created with our own hands than the creator of the universe.
Nathan, what a great point. Like you mentioned, right? People don't think that there's idolatry, but let me tell you, there's quite a bit of idolatry everywhere. God doesn't want us to worship anything other. And even during the holidays, we have to be careful, right, Nate? Because we've made so many little images, and now we also start to worship those, whether it's a form of a tree or certain things. And we have to constantly point people back, right, Nate? Because we have a tendency to get distracted and forgetting the mission of the Lord. He came here to be a light in darkness and to be an encouragement to people. And what a great passage we're reading. Nate, also, one thing that caught my attention too is his mission here in verse one, speaking of the elect one. He will bring forth justice, it says, to the Gentiles. And then it also reminds us, verse seven, he's going to open the eyes of the blind. Verse eight, six, excuse me, it says that he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. And it just reminds me so much of Jesus' ministry, according to Matthew, chapter four, which tells us about the ministry of the Lord. And it says, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been in prison, he departed from Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan of Galilee of Galilees, the people who sat in darkness saw a great light, And upon those who sat in the region of shadows of death, light has dawned. And then in verse 23 of Matthew 4 says, now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases amongst the people. And that's why we don't worship idols, right, Nate? We worship a living God who walked among us and still does miracles today.
Oh, absolutely. And it's an amazing passage when you think about the fact that the Lord is saying he's bringing justice to the Gentiles. You know, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people were taught rightfully and believed that the Lord was only interested in bringing salvation to them. So here you get this prophecy about salvation coming to the Gentiles. I mean, even the Apostle Peter couldn't believe it. He had to get a special vision to say, hey, go to the Gentiles. And Paul was assigned to go to the Gentiles. And so there was an unheard of thing in that time that the Gentiles, and if you're a Gentile, that folks, that means you're not a Jew. That's all that means, is that they would get the gospel too. So it was a prophecy actually about the church age and going forward. It's something that was unheard of, a mystery, the Bible says, during the Old Testament. And yet here you have it, that the people are, the Gentiles are going to get the gospel one day. Verse 7, too, this is an interesting one, Vic, about bringing out the prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. Now, that's not talking about actual prisons. I mean, it could be. I don't remember Jesus walking into prisons and leading them out, but there are passages that talk about how when Jesus died, he went to Hades, and he went to the compartment of paradise and led captives from paradise up to heaven. In other words, his sacrifice allowed those who died in faith before he resurrected from the dead to be able, once they die, to go directly to heaven. And so that would seem like verse 7 here is a passage pointing to the fact that one day Jesus would lead captives from hell, or the real term is Hades or paradise, that compartment, and up to heaven, where now when we die, we can go right to heaven. We don't have to go into a holding compartment.
Nathan, that's a good point. That's why there's religions out there that teach about purgatory, this holding place. Hey, man, according to the Bible, right, Nathan? That's why I love the Bible, because it's so clear, Jesus' mission and what he has in store for us. That was a very good point that you just brought up there on verse 7. And not only that,
and it's not purgatory, though, because, you know, we know purgatory is a false teaching made by the Catholic
right.
Church hundreds of years after Jesus. But a lot of people think that, you know, when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. Now, those of us who die in no faith, in faith Jesus Christ, we go to heaven. But those who die in disbelief or rebellion against God, they go to a place called Hades. There's a compartment called torments, and there they wait to be resurrected after the millennial kingdom and then be judged. And unfortunately, they all go to the lake of fire as their punishment, as their just punishment. And a lot of people don't realize that. So that's what Vic and I aren't advocating. There's such thing as a purgatory, because it sounds like a purgatory, but it's not. It's a holding place. It's a prison.
Correct. Yes. Thank you, Nathan, for clarifying that. And that's why we try to point people back to what the Word of God says. That's why it's so crucial for you to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And we give the Lord praise. And speaking of praise, verse 10 through 13, right, Nate, is actually a song now that we get into as we look at these following verses. Would you be able to read for us, Nathan, there, verses 10 and 11, and I'll read verses 12 and 13?
Well, if it's a song, I was hoping you'd sing it.
No, you don't want to hear me sing. People will start tuning out right away.
Well, there you go. All right. So verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains.
Verse 12, let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Oh, what a wonderful, I don't write songs, Nathan, but this will be a nice one.
It would. And of course, it was originally in Hebrew, so I'm sure we're losing some of the content here in English. But it reminds me of the scene in heaven where every time something amazing about the Lord is revealed, all of heaven just can't help but break forth in worship and start singing, you know, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. And that's kind of feels like this way here, is that here Isaiah is is talking about the amazing things that the Messiah will do, and he can't help but break out in song and praise the Lord.
Oh, Nate, what a wonderful ending. But as we get into the other verses, we see how good God is. And for those that are following us live, and if you have a Bible, we're going to give you a little homework, but we want you to outline or circle how many times you're going to find the word the Bible speaking of Jesus or the writer saying I. So Nate, will you be able to take us through those I's there in verses 14 through verse 16, and then I'll read verse 17 through 20?
Okay, 14 through 16. Can you hear me okay? Our connection's just a little unstable right now.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, verse 14. I have held my peace a long time. I've been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands, and I will dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them.
Oh, verse 17, they shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, who trust in carved images, who say to the molten images, you are our gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? O deaf as my messenger who I send, who is blind as he who is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but you do not observe, opening that ears, but he does not hear. Another amazing passage.
Yeah, that was a fan interesting, all the I's here. So we're getting God speaking firsthand. Actually, I think it's really more the Son of God. We're talking about the Messiah here, because we addressed what the Messiah will do. There's a praise for what he will do, and then we learn what he's exactly going to do here. And what's he going to do? He's going to be a provider for his people. He's going to be a great defender who will defend them. The lands what can't match his power as he dries up the rivers if they're in the way of his people, as we saw with the Red Sea. I know anybody who trusts in idols, the enemies of God, they're going to be put to shame. We know all these false world religions will go away one day. He's going to bring the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and that was one of the prophecies the Lord told the Pharisee. Excuse me, it was John the Baptist. That's right, where John the Baptist was starting to doubt if Jesus was the Messiah, and he says, "Hey, the deaf are seeing, excuse me, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing. That's a messianic prophecy. So you know that I am the Messiah."
Nathan, I love that. And I also love the hear and see speaking. Also, as we look today, there's a lot of people that can hear and a lot of people that can see. But when it comes to the spiritual things, there's a lot of people that are blind and a lot of people that are deaf. And the book of Revelation, right, Nate, to the churches, is constantly being told whoever has an ear to hear, where to listen. And you would agree, right, Nate, that a lot of times we can maybe hear physically and see, but spiritually, so many are deaf and blind.
And we'll read that in verse 23 when we get to the final part about giving an ear to hear, because now this was Isaiah's frustration, is that he was sent to bring the gospel to Israel and Jerusalem, and the people just kept rejecting his message. They preferred worthless idols over the God of the universe. And so when we get to verses 21 through 25, it's Isaiah's last gasp of frustration, so to speak, in this chapter, that the Jewish people are rejecting all the mighty and majesty that is the Messiah.
Excellent point. So Nate, let me pick up verses 21 through 23, and then you can close us with 24 and 25.
Okay.
And verse 21 says, and the Lord is well pleased for his righteous sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are a snare in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come?
Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. Therefore, he poured on them the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know, and it burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. You know, if you go back to Deuteronomy chapters 20 through 30, the Lord's last message through Moses was to the people, hey, if you follow me, if you're obedient to me, you will receive all sorts of blessings. But if you reject me and rebel against me, you will get all sorts of curses. And one of the curses was the fact that the Jewish people would have no peace from their neighbors. And that's exactly what was happening. Again, this is about 700 BC. The Assyrians had just taken the northern tribes away into exile and were plundering the south. Jerusalem was standing on a precipice. And so the people had no peace from their neighbors. Today, now that Israel's back in the land again, as prophesied, what do they have? Endless war with their neighbors around. And why? Well, 75% of the Jewish people in Israel today are secular humanists. They haven't acknowledged God. And so it's interesting to read a passage here about the ancient Israelites from 2,700 years ago, and yet 2,700 years now, the people are exactly in the same position. You know, they're chasing after the idols of me and money. They're being punished by their hostile neighbors around them. And he says, you didn't take it to heart. You don't know me. You've rejected my law. Isn't it crazy, Vic, to think that the Jewish people are in the same situation that they were 3,000 years ago?
Nathan, it is mind-boggling to me when you consider how the world turns, in a sense, and how sin works, how sin blinds people and deceives people. It reminds me of the movie The Lord of the Rings, where Gollum was chasing this ring of power.
Oh, yeah.
And how it deceived him.
He loved it and hated it, right?
Right. And unfortunately, today people are chasing after these things that are very deceptive, the Jewish people included. Today, people want to see the truth. They want to hear. But when you show them the truth, all of a sudden they turn a blind eye, or they don't want to hear that truth that strongly. We're entering into this amazing holiday that we call Christmas, and soon will be New Year's. And we present to people the reality that Christmas is about Christ. It's his birth. We should celebrate, we should sing Happy Birthday, Jesus, but people don't want to hear that, Nathan.
No, they turn the whole holiday into about themselves, you know, gifts and parties and holidays, or at least since World War II, about family. And they miss the real reason for the season. And we all feel guilty of that, or fall guilty to that. And that's that. It's just that I wonder if our human brains are just too tiny to comprehend. Not only is the vastness of the God of the universe, but the vastness of his love for us, what he has given up for us so that we may be saved. It's mind-boggling, and I don't think we can, in these fallen, frail human states, ever grasp the sacrifice, the weight of it that God gave up for us.
Oh, Nathan, what a great point. And that's why we know that there's individuals that are listening out there and are also in prayer. But maybe you happen to be part of today's program and you have not started that relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're still in some areas a little bit blind or deaf, but you're willing to listen. And that's a good thing, because we want to leave you with good news. And the good news is that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, but he wants you to turn and repent from your sins and open up your hearts to him. So, Nate, I know we only have about a minute left to the program. Maybe there is someone out there who is sensitive and their hearts are open and they want to know more about God. How can they start a relationship with him?
The Bible teaches us in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, we have taught about this Messiah and what he sacrificed. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he promises that your sins will be forgiven, the wrath of God will be off you, and you can have a perfect fellowship and relationship with the God of the universe and inheriting eternal life. So pray from your heart. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've rebelled against you. Please forgive me. I love you, and I want you to be my Savior and the Lord of my life. And Jesus promises that you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven. The guilt will be washed away, and you'll inherit eternal life forever.
Praise the Lord. And you're part of the program, and maybe you pray that prayer for the first time. We want to congratulate you. There's a celebration in heaven. And feel free to also call us if you need a prayer, 305-992-9537, or write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. And we want to rejoice with you. Also want to encourage you, find a good Bible teaching church and join it and ask to be baptized and grow in your relationship with the Lord. So Nathan, that's why we do this program, to encourage people in the good news that is found in the Word of God.
Yes, yeah, so as the old music for this show used to be, remember? Good news, good news.
And actually, speaking of that, we're going to actually close and end with that song and that intro of the good news. So again, thank you all for joining us. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Christmas.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have